Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
All right, welcome to episode 174 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, April 2nd, 2016. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980. And joining me, editor-in-chief and owner of the All Habs Network of Sites, his name is Rick Stevens. How are you doing, Rick?
Doing great, Chris. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. A busy show like it is every week here on the Habs 360 podcast. Joining us in about 15 to 20 minutes time, will be Brian Rogers, who is the play-by-play broadcaster of the St. John Ice Caps. So it'll be good for us to get the latest news about them. And a lot of Ice Caps players here in Montreal, a lot of movement over there. So we'll get some updates on everything going on with the AHL team. Our question of the day, it's pretty simple. Carey Price, he joined the team on their road trip in Florida. He was with a team in Tampa Bay, and he's with them in Florida right now as the Canadiens face the Florida Panthers tonight. And we want to know, should Carey Price start a game before the end of the regular season? You can let us know via Twitter at Habs360, and you can also visit the All Habs Facebook page and leave your comments on the Facebook page, and we'll discuss your tweets and our comments on that subject in later on today's episode, and we'll let you know when the phone lines will be open to discuss that topic.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on Habs 360.
Winners and losers, very popular segment here on the Habs 360 podcast. Habs 360, the most informative and interactive podcast. And well, you're lucky because this is also the most popular segment on any podcast that exists out there. It's the winners and the losers. And Rick, let's get it started. Let's start off positive with the winners.
Absolutely. And since we're kind of focusing on goaltenders today, let's start with a goaltender. And the Canadians have a new one of those in their system. His name is Charlie Lindgren. He was a free agent playing for the St. Cloud State Huskies. Mark Bergevin calls him the best free agent goaltender available in the U.S. college system. He posted an incredible record this season. Out of his 40 games, he had a record of 39-1. 2.13 goals against and a 925 save percentage. He's 22 years old. Also, I should mention he was he is a finalist for the Mike Richter Award. That's the top goaltending award in the NCAA. So he signed a two-year deal with the Canadiens, and you know he must have a pretty good agent as well, because the agent, Charlie had a few offers, several offers to choose from, but he managed to negotiate, or the agent did, to be on the Canadiens lineup for the rest of the regular season, and that meant that Ben Skrivens was dispatched to St. John's after passing through waivers, but a new prospect on the horizon, and that his name is Charlie Lindgren.
And as well, it was also announced that he will be starting at least one game before the end of the season. If I'd predict a game, it would probably be the game against the Hurricanes on Thursday on the road. And there was a lot of interest from other teams as well when it comes to Charlie Lindgren. And just something to keep in mind, last time the Canadiens acquired a player that a lot of teams wanted, a free agent, his name was Jiří Sekáč. And, well, where is he now? So let's see what that brings. I'm mostly curious on what this signing has to do with the future in Canadiens goaltending, but we're going to tackle that later on today's episode.
Vanek is another name that kind of falls in that category, as I remember.
Yeah, absolutely. But I still found that Vanek brought more to the team than Sekáč did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
I'll go with the next runner-up for winners of the week. So it's he's got 8 points in the last 9 games. It's Sven Andrighetto. Just this week, since our last episode, he got 1 goal, 3 assists, and he went +3. And he did that by playing on the third line with Philip Dano, who also had a decent week. Dano scored 2 goals. One of them was an empty net and went +3. And David Dernais was the center of that line. And I guess just as a side note, boy, does David Dernais look better when he plays on the third line compared to playing on the first line. Dernais, a little bit off topic here, but he scored a goal as well in the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Sven Andrighetto, he's going to fight for a top six position with the Canadiens next year, and he had a great week this week. So Sven Andrighetto, a runner-up for winner of the week.
Yeah, and Andrighetto was named second star in the game against the Red Wings, and for that game, at least part of the game, he played with Max Pacioretty and Alex Galchenyuk, and that kind of slides right into, we're going to give our next runner-up to those two, Alex Galchenyuk, Max Pacioretty. At the beginning of the season, they played 2 games together, and Michel Therrien had seen enough. They played against the Red Wings and against the Bruins. They played against Datsyuk and against Bergeron, pretty tough defensive forwards, had no chemistry in Therrien's mind. But when brought together, have shown nothing but chemistry. They've been great together. Pacioretty was the first star in that game against the Red Wings with 2 goals. And Pacioretty says about his play with Alex Galchenyuk that, he's noticed, he said the nice part, they've been plugging guys in on the right side, and the duo has found success no matter who's in there. And Max Pacioretty is a big proponent of keeping duos together, and seems to have found some very good chemistry with Alex Galchenyuk.
And it's an interesting race between those two players from now until game 82, which is over the next 8 days. Both players have 27 goals. Who will finish on top of the race? And here, let's throw it out there. Rick, we think he's going to finish on top of the scoring race, Pacioretty or Galchenyuk? I'll tell you, I'll go with Galchenyuk.
I'll go Galchenyuk. We're supposed to disagree, I know.
Yeah, so, okay, I'll take Pacioretty then.
It'll be close. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it'll be interesting.
I hope they both get 30. Honestly, I hope they both get 30.
You're right. That's the third option. They could finish tied for the race. And now it's time to announce our winner of the week. And while a lot of talk about goaltending in today's episode, and while the winner of the week is Canadiens goaltender, he's the starting goaltender right now as it stands, Mike Condon. And the week started off for him by being announced the Montreal Canadiens candidate for the Bill Masterton Trophy. Let's hear Condon's comments.
It's nice. It's nice to, you know, kind of get that recognition, but it's not what I'm after. It's not what you know, as a team, what we're trying to do. You know, I'm not a guy who really likes the spotlight or the attention. So, you know, it's just very humbling.
So the selection of Mike Condon was done by the Montreal chapter of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. And they mentioned that throughout the season, he has been a true example of sportsmanship, perseverance, and determination. And the Bill Masterton Trophy, for those who don't know, is awarded to the NHL player who best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey. So every team has a representative for that trophy. And then at the award ceremony, the winner is announced. The last Montreal Canadiens player to win the Bill Masterton was Max Pacioretty in 2011-2012. When it comes as well to Mike Condon, he recorded his first shutout in the NHL, his first shutout of the season against the Tampa Bay Lightning as the Canadiens beat them on Thursday in Tampa by a score of 3-0. And well, the Canadiens have set many records, franchise records this year. Mike Condon did that on Thursday, as he became the first Montreal goaltender ever to record a shutout in Tampa Bay. So nobody's done that from the Canadiens before. And that shutout in the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning, the last time Canadiens had a shutout, it was 70 games prior to that. So lots of action in between. So for those reasons, I think that Mike Condon deserves to be our winner of the week.
Absolutely. He set another kind of mark with that shutout. And as Eric Ingles pointed out, no goalie in the NHL had played more games this season without recording a shutout. They don't, when he's telling his grandchildren, he'll talk about how he stood on his head. It wasn't quite that game against the Lightning. It was Sergio Mimesso that said on the broadcast that it was quantified as a team shutout. He didn't really steal the game. He only had to face three shots in the third period. But regardless, it's a huge hurdle for him, a huge achievement, and a bit of a rough season. So great on Mike Condon.
Yeah, we'll talk about more about it, the future, with how the impact of the signing of Charlie Lindgren did later on today's episode. So let's move on now to our losers of the week. So, Rick, why don't you get us started?
You go first. I know you were perturbed at a bit of a survey that appeared this week. So why don't you take that?
Sure. So this was a poll that was published by the Toronto Sun. It's a post-media poll. I'm just looking for the date here. It was posted on Monday, March 28th. And they polled fans and players. So it was an online survey for fans. It was 1,000 fans approximately that completed the survey. And they polled between 25 and 30 players depending on the question. So right there, when you're looking at a sample size of 25, sorry, I'm talking about the player side of the poll right now. When you're looking at 25 out of the 700 players that there is in the league, the sample is very, very small. So I don't think it's significant enough to mean anything. So just based on that fact, I think the poll itself was a little stupid. One category that stood out I know, keeping it here on Montreal Canadiens related, is there was a question asked on who is the most overrated player in the league. The fan voting had PK Subban finishing first place, and the player, and this was 10.2% of the votes, and the players, 28 players answered this particular question. They had PK Subban second place behind Phil Kessel, but you know, Phil Kessel is, I don't think I need to say anything more for that. When it comes to the online poll, post media, very Anglophone, there's not much presence in Quebec, so right there, you know, it's a lot of Anglophones, the rest of Canada people who have voted on that poll. And when it could be players that, you know, have faced PK Subban, that could be, I don't know, jealous of his talented. When you're saying he's overrated, are they saying, you know, what do they mean by overrated? That maybe those players don't think that PK Subban is the best defenseman in the league? If that's the case, I understand him, right? I don't think here, on at least not in this podcast, we haven't said that PK Subban is the best defenseman in the league. He's one of the best defensemen, top five, top ten, whatever the argument is there. That's fine. So in that point, I understand. If we look at PK Subban's impact since his injury, Canadiens' power play has been 2-for-26 without PK Subban. That's a little under 8% success rate. So that's pretty crappy. If you look on the penalty kill side, without PK Subban since his injury, the success rate has been under 70. So that's kind of bad. So that being said, this poll, post-media poll, as it was branded on the article, to me, it's stupid. And the people who put it up there, I consider them are losers.
All right. I think you covered that pretty completely. and I know we only got a couple minutes left here. So I just think, you know, the Montrealers certainly overrate PK Subban, just because of their love for him. They see him on and off the ice and appreciate, you know, what he does overall. But I think you're right on the survey itself. Very quickly, number two, we're going to have Stéphane Matteau. You know, I don't think there's any argument that he hasn't shown anything whatsoever since he arrived. And the Devils might have been right about him. 12 games he's played, he's just got an assist and is a minus four. You know, Darren Dietz has more shots on goal than does Stéphane Matteau. So if, yeah, let's leave that and go on to the next one. You take the next one.
Sure. So this started last Saturday following the game between the Rangers and the Canadiens at the Bell Centre. It was a game where the New York Rangers destroyed the Canadiens by a score of 5-2. And it all started with a post-game press conference, and let's hear the question that was asked to the coach.
What was it about Mike McCarron's game that in the first period he was out there on the power play and then he got away from that look?
What was your question?
McCarron was out there in the first period on the power play and then you went away from that look for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Just why? What was it about his game that you went away from it?
I thought Andy Gredo was doing a decent job with the tonight.
So I think it was a fair question that was asked by the reporter on Michael McCarron's ice time. During that time, the press conference was being broadcasted live on TVA Sports following the game. And let's just quickly hear the comments that we'll hear first from Dave Morissette and Mike Bossy.
Mike, qu'est-ce que tu disais?
Non, je disais, puis ça paraît tellement, quand tu es le média anglophone qui pose une question, tu vois que Michel, là, la face, il change.
Mais tu sais pourquoi?
Je le sais,
depuis
Dave.
Que Michel Therrien est engagé, on veut le congédier du côté des Anglais.
Mais non, je le sais.
Écoute-moi, mon travail à moi,
j'écoute
c'est...
J'écoute la radio en anglais des fois, puis je le sais, c'est plate.
Là, ils ont
c'est
des, plate,
parce
ils ont
que
des
on
munitions.
Dirait qu'ils ont un mandat, là. Ouais. Puis, à quelque part, en tout cas, on ne reviendra pas là-dessus, mais...
All right, so I'll translate that. Dave Morissette, in that clip, says that the English folks have wanted Michel Therrien fired since he was hired. And then Mike Bossy, he agrees to that, and he says that that's their... they even have a mandate to do that, and Michel Therrien isn't happy with the English media. So that whole situation, I want to talk about now Morissette and Michael Bossy. It's a word that I've used a lot so far in today's episode, but I find that stupid as well. Why would the English media want Michel Therrien to get fired since day one? And why would it be because of the language? Why would they do that when they know that if the Canadiens' replacement coach would also speak French? Like, we all know that. Whether or not we agree with that's the right decision the Canadiens need to take. So that being said, regardless of that, there's no reason for the media to want Michel Therrien fired because of language. And just to take that one step further, I think Dave Morissette, I think Michael Bossy should read, listen to the rest of the French media, because there's a lot of their French colleagues who also don't want Michel Therrien to be back next season.
Yeah, I think it's they brought discredit to themselves. There are plenty of reasons for Michel Therrien to be, plenty of legitimate reasons for Michel Therrien to be fired, and just, you know, look at this December to begin. And they've disqualified themselves as hockey analysts, and they're into the territory of being language advocates, and it was sad, and you know, it erupted on Twitter. Brian Wild took them to task, and others. It really, really sad. As I said, they brought discredit on themselves.
So, Rick, so, why don't you tell us who our big losers of the week are?
Our big loser of the week, kind of lump into a category. We've got Gary Bettman, we've got Coley Campbell, and we're going to add Bob McKenzie in there. Although I like Bob McKenzie, but he deserves to be there too. This is all about the email dump that happened this week in the case concerning concussions. The NHL was forced to release private emails, and you know, it's been pretty clear that Coley Campbell deserves a lot of criticism, Gary Bettman too, for the language, their tone, their attitude towards the concussions, and they've been getting hammered on social media, and deservedly so. But I'm going to direct mine here at Bob McKenzie. I have no idea what he's doing, but it is not sports journalism. From these emails, it's clear that he's, he's advocating for suspensions for certain players. He's making it pretty clear his biases about certain players, and it has no place whatsoever in sports journalism. And I think that to be fair, Bob should answer. I really don't like the fact, that's a whole other issue, that these emails were made public. But since they have been, I'm really disappointed what I'm seeing from Bob McKenzie. But we're gonna throw the whole works of them into the lump as losers.
Yeah, I agree as well. Why did, for them to think that way? That's, you know, their right to think the way that they think. But why put that in writing? And for our listeners, if you knew what Rick writes about me, that'd be top story everywhere across the media. But at least Rick doesn't do it in writing, doesn't put it in emails, so he covers himself pretty good. So that's a whole other debate on the concussions that maybe we'll get into some other time. We're going to take our first break. On the other side, we'll be joined by Brian Rogers, play-by-play broadcaster of the Ice Caps. He'll give us the latest on what's going on in the AHL. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media,
digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity. Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. We are specifically interested in individuals who have education and/or experience in the following areas: sports writing, translation, editing, forum administration, social media administration, multimedia, graphic design, web development and user support, event planning, and sponsorship and marketing. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit allhabs.net and click the Join Our Team tab today. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net. This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by IceCapsHockeyReport.com, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. IceCapsHockeyReport.com is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
All right, it's episode 174 of the Habs 360 podcast. My name is Chris G, along with Rick Stevens. And joining us for this week's Ice Caps Report, he's the voice, the play-by-play broadcaster of the St. John Ice Caps. His name is Brian Rogers. Thank you for joining us, Brian.
My pleasure, Chris and Rick. Good afternoon from balmy St. John's, Mount Pearl, Newfoundland, Labrador, where it's sunny and almost 60 degrees. Believe it or not.
lucky you. So thank you for taking the time. So, Brian, the Canadiens up here this week assigned a goal, Charlie Lindgren, university goaltender from the U.S. When I heard about this signing, my first thought went right away to Zachary Fucali, who plays for the St. John Icecaps, and I was thinking, how would this affect him, like his future with the organization? Can you tell us about how Fucali has been? You've seen him play there game in, game out, so you probably have more insight than we do. How has this season been?
Well, you know what, Chris, it's been up and down. I mean, he's only a youngster. You know, he comes in highly touted after winning a Memorial Cup with the Halifax Mooseheads a couple of years ago and guiding Canada to the World Junior Championship just the past year. So I think expectations were terrifically high for young Zach Fucali, who's been a winner wherever he's been. So I guess, you know, like the first thing hockey fans will think of is well, this guy's going to be our savior and lead us to the promised land. Well, you know what, that's an awful lot of pressure to put on a young goaltender. And, you know, he's had his moments. I mean, I think he's a terrific young kid. He's got a great personality. He focuses, he works hard, but he just some nights doesn't play up to what I think his standards would be from what I've seen in the past. And I think sometimes it's just a little inattentiveness in his preparation early in hockey games. He's had a couple games where he's given up some really odd goals and some soft ones, and then he's buckled down after that and made big saves, but games have gotten out of hand early, and he's got the hook a few times. But you'll never hear Sylvain Lefebvre or Donat Dufresne or any of the coaching staff throw him under the collective hockey bus. That's one thing that Sylvain and his coaching staff don't do. Marco Marciano works a lot with and he'll probably do the same thing with Charlie Lindgren. And Eddie Pasquale, of course, has been in the mix. And Ben Scrivens will play tonight. And Dustin Tokarski has come and gone. So it's been a revolving door with the goaltenders. But I think Zach's got a positive future, whether it's with Montreal, that remains to be seen. Being, obviously, a native of the Montreal area, I'm sure he wants it that way. But he'll have to play a lot. And with Lindgren coming in next year, and I would imagine that's what the Habs signed him for, to push Zach and then maybe ready to go in a few years out of St. Cloud State, it might be time Zach Vitale may have to look over his shoulder a little bit. Now, he's played the brunt of the games between he and Eddie, and Scrivens, like I said, will start tonight, and Tokarski long gone. However, I guess if you were to give him a grade, and I don't like to do this, but I'd have to say maybe a B-minus, if that's fair. But he certainly has potential. He really has potential. There's no doubt about that.
And speaking of Ben Scriven, so he was sent down because of the signing of Charlie Lindgren. He sent out a tweet on social media, and he wrote, "When life gives you screech, kiss the cod." So, have you had a chance to speak to Ben since he was sent down? How do you think he took this this next step, we'll say, of his career?
Well, your timing is impeccable, Chris G, because just this morning, on my way down to do a little prep for tonight's broadcast and go through my media notes and such, and I ran into Ben, joined by some of his teammates in their ritual soccer game after Sylvain Lefebvre decided to cancel practice, and I just introduced myself to him briefly. We had a brief chat, and I said, "You know, Ben, I've admired you from afar before. He's a great guy. I saw him on Hockey Night in Canada late night one night with Scott Oak, and he blew me away. I couldn't get over how dedicated, how professional he was, and it seemed like he had a deep mind and a big heart." And I said to him today, I said, "Ben, welcome aboard. I said, I know it's probably a little tough hoe here for you, but I said, it's a beautiful day outside. It's sunny. It's warm." And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "It's a great day for hockey." And he smiled, and I said I'd catch up with him a little bit later on. So I'll leave him be, let him do his thing. But he's a polished pro. He's been around. He's been a winner, and he's had a tough go this year, starting in Bakersfield, then part of the deal where Zach Cassian went to the Oilers. So he's bounced around a little bit, but he's had some pretty good games for the Habs this year. I saw him steal a couple wins for the team when they were really down and out. And I still think he's a quality person and a quality goaltender now. At 29, does he continue on to play? Does he get an opportunity elsewhere? Who knows? I guess only Ben will know that for sure in his heart, which direction he's heading in. But from that brief exchange this morning, I was pretty impressed. And as I said, after watching him in that about a 20-minute piece, it probably was about a month and a half ago, I was pretty impressed with Ben Scrivens.
Brian, Rick Stevens, actually, before I ask my question, let me get an update from you on Charles Hudon. Last night in the game against Lehigh Valley, former Canadians Davis Dorisky and Aaron Polushai kind of teamed up for a pretty nasty hit, and Charles was assisted off the ice, did not return to the game last night. Do you have any update on him?
Well, Rick, as the editor of All Habs Hockey Magazine and your Rocket Sports in Montreal, you know, that's like, I don't know.
State secrets.
I don't want to get negative, but I mean, you know, when it comes to soliciting information on injuries and anything, unfortunately, it doesn't go very far. And you and I became friends this year, obviously, in our encounters on the road. It was a terrible hit on Charles Hudon. It went unpenalized, which was a mind blower. But, well, then again, it wasn't. Rick, you've sat next to me and listened to me rave and rant and roar on many occasions. I'm not sure. I know this much. Charles is not playing tonight. So, you know, whether it's long term, whether he's done for the season, I mean, the Ice Caps were mathematically eliminated last night when both Utica and Portland won. So the Ice Caps have 5 games left. And that includes tonight's encounter here at Mahwah Center against Lehigh Valley. But he was down for quite some time, and it looked like a nasty hit. It looked like, I think, Drewinski maybe got him with a bit of a cross-check, but Polushai coming in, with the late hit. And I saw some of the replays on Rogers television. They broadcast all our games, and it was kind of really hard to tell whether it should have been penalized or not from that angle because it happened so tight into the boards. But any time a guy's laying down there for 4 or 5 minutes, I mean, you've got to expect that he's in trouble. And that would be another huge blow. But then, Rick, part of what's gone on all year, both in Montreal and St. John's, when it rains, it pours, and it does a fair amount of that here.
Well, let me ask you, thank you for that. I appreciate knowing that that he won't be in the lineup tonight, and we wish him well in his recovery. But on a better, lighter note, a newcomer, Tom Parisi, that the Canadiens signed from Providence College as a free agent. He made his pro debut last week against the Marlies. You had a chance to interview him this week. He and his kind of Long Island accent, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I should say, if fans want to take a look, the St. John's Ice Caps YouTube channel is terrific for all of your the interviews, the one-on-one interviews you do with the players. And that's where I found the one about Tom Parisi. But tell us a little bit about Tom.
Very engaging, Rick, and thank you for the plug on the Ice Caps YouTube channel. Although they've cut my time and efforts down substantially because they want to more of the players and less of my three chins and questioning. But hey, that's all part and part of the process. It's hard to keep the youth of today engaged for more than 90 seconds. I guess that's the scoop on why they're cut down. But anyways, you go with the flow. But very engaging young man, very bright. He certainly, to me, looks like he's got a lot of upside. I guess, you know, the Habs watched him lead the Providence Friars to the NCAA Frozen Four title last year. They got knocked out this time around. But, you know, he's not a big kid, but he's a nice skater. He's a puck-moving defenseman. He was in the penalty box when Adam Comrie scored the game winner last night in Lehigh Valley's only power play, ironically, after Hudon got hit. The Ice Caps got 6 power plays. Lehigh Valley got one. That's all they needed to get the go-ahead goal, and they won that by a score of 4-1. But getting back to Parisi, and sorry to go around the loop here with him, but I was very impressed. You know, he didn't do anything really outstanding, but he didn't do anything that would be alarming as well. So I think it's just a matter of time. He'll remain here for the last 5 games. He'll play. He's in the lineup tonight. He's actually paired up tonight with Josiah Didier. That tells you how young this back end is and how beat up it is as well. Half the decors in Montreal, and even Barbario's gone, so we mark a speedy recovery. But I think that Parisi's got some upside. His two-way, two-year contract will come into effect on Canada Day, July the 1st, and he'll be earmarked for here. But he looks like a good young player. I said again, he's not the biggest, but when you can skate, move the puck, and a nice pinpoint passer as well, I think there's upside for young Tom Parisi. Wearing jersey 5, the number 6 that he wore at Providence wasn't available. So he'll settle for 5. Whether he gets that next year remains to be seen.
Now, you mentioned Josiah Didier, and we had a chance to speak to him last week. And one of the things I said to him is that I would not want to face both he and Brett Lernau, two big, physical, punishing defensemen. Brett's going to make his NHL debut tonight with
Good.
The Canadiens.
Well, that's great.
And for fans that don't know about Brett, why don't you take us through his season, which I think, to be fair, he started as a pretty raw prospect as the season began, but has certainly progressed.
Yeah, there's no question, Rick. In fact, both he and Josiah, as of late, and especially with the wheels coming off this season here in St. John's and up in Montreal, have made tremendous strides. You're right. You hit it right on the nail there, Rick. You're very astute in that regard, obviously. Both of them are big, strong kids. Brett looked a little more raw-boned than Didier did, and I think that's because he's a WHL graduate as opposed to a collegiate graduate, Didier coming out of his home university, Denver U. But Lernout's really stepped it up. He scored a lovely goal in Toronto a week ago today, opened the scoring, and then the Ice Caps fell 5-3 in that game. But if I said all those hours of watching Morgan Ellis tape paid off, do you learn? He goes, yeah. He said, I'm starting to fire the rocket. He's a good kid. He's an engaging youngster, much like Parise is. No shortage of raw bone skill. He's got a pretty good sense of humor, and he is a very physical kid. I think that if he can hone his skills, maybe improve his outlet passes, maybe work on getting a little quicker, he could be another one that could be a surprise guy in the next year or two for Montreal. They've got some good kids in the stable, and I like Didier a lot. I just want to reflect on him a little bit. He is solid as a rock. He's a big, strong kid. He's a shot-blocking machine. I think Leonard could add that to his game, too. That would help Brett. But Didier, man, you talk about a fearless warrior. He's learned well from the likes of Darren Dietz and Morgan Ellis how to step in front and take a welt for the team. And that's one thing that this raw-bone defenseman, Didier to Littleton, Colorado, has done. And Leonard, a Winnipeg kid, has made some nice strides. I like the two of them. I like their game. It's come together very well over the last end of the season.
And for what it's worth, Didier has a crushing handshake. Not since John Beliveau crushing handshake of all time, but Didier, when you shake his hand, you know he's a strong fella.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of told him, I said, Rick, I said, Dids, and we talk every day. He's really, really good kid, get to know him really well. We kind of just do the bump now, Rick. You know, but I wouldn't be able to hang on to my mic to do all those interviews if I didn't do the bumps.
Pro advice right there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Just getting in the weeds a bit, both Lernau and Dietz were paired together tonight, but they both are used to playing the right side. And had a look back through my notes over the second half of the Ice Caps season. The only time I saw them playing together was on the 5th of March against Albany. So one of them's going to have to play on their offside. I suspect it'll be Dietz because he's got a little bit more experience, but you know, how do you see them as a pairing tonight?
Well, I guess, you know, Darren obviously is taking full advantage of the fact he's got some size and some savvy, and he's only a young guy too. I mean, people have to remember, these guys are only second-year pros, for goodness sakes, or third-year pros. Morgan Ellis into his fourth, but he spent the majority of last year with Wheeling, and has had a bounce-back year. I just think the familiarity will be okay. I don't think that you're going to see either one panic, but I think Darren, if you were to ask him, would say, hey, it doesn't matter to him what side he's playing on. And I think that, you know, with Joel, Joel Hanley and Brett Leonard were paired together in St. John's most of the years you saw, and they were...
Yep.
Usually very, very, good together. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, I'm surprised that maybe, you know, like that's not where the coach is putting him in tonight, but it's none of my business. But you're the one that brought it up here, and I'm just going to answer that question by saying I think that Lerner would be better served playing maybe with Joel Hanley because they played so many minutes, so many games together in St. John's. But, hey, it's baptism by fire, isn't it? So I'm sure Brett Lerner's not overly concerned. He's probably he's so jacked up to play tonight and make his NHL debut down in Sunrise that he's probably not worried too much about that. And by the way, could I ask and gauge you what number that Lernout's going to wear?
Good question.
Yeah, I don't think they announced that yet.
Oh, sorry, guys. I didn't mean to catch you off guard there.
No worries.
I'll check the game notes a little later on and have a look.
Yeah, we know that we can't keep you because you have a game to call tonight, but we actually
you can keep me for a while. I'm not in any hurry. Go ahead.
Well, we've got a caller on the line, as I'm told, and I see that they would like to ask you about the impact of hockey analytics on the game today. I know that.
Uh-oh.
Who's our caller?
All right, go ahead.
Hi, this is Amy calling from Allentown, calling in from my favorite AHL broadcaster.
Oh, well, thank you, Amy. Nice to talk to you, dear. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm doing okay. I'm a little heartbroken because we're out of the playoffs, and you toil, blood, sweat, and tears all year, and you get to finally be the broadcaster of your favorite National Hockey League team. Growing up cheering for Les Bleus, Blancs et Rouges, and then to have them both not make the postseason is extremely disappointing. However, you got to try to keep it together and get through the next five games, and then just hope for something better in the fall.
Amy, of course, is our lead contributor for Ice Caps Hockey Report, Amy Johnson. She and Brian had quite a good session all day working together in presenting the these caps. By the way, Brett Lernout will wear number 36 tonight. But go ahead.
36. Thank you very much for that. But what was the question about analytics? You know how
I'm saying hello to you, sir. This is, of course, Amy Johnson from Ice Caps Hockey Report. I had to call in when I heard that you were going to be on the podcast, and have heard while listening to your broadcast, of course, the last couple of nights that you had just such a wonderful connection with all of that hockey analytics business in Toronto that you saw while you were out there.
Good for you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could cheer that. It was just a little off the cuff. It caught me off guard seeing a big blazing white van go by with the Leaf decals on it, the Leaf emblem, and then analytics, the game changer. You know, I mean, are you kidding me?
I don't know who's game changing.
Numbers are going to make the game better. It's a foolishness, and I've said it many a time before, and I'll continue as an old school guy, is that, hey, it's all about brains, heart, and skill. Nothing to do with numbers. I got grade 7 math, and I'm still broadcasting into my 41st year, so I didn't need math or analytics or anything else to be a hockey broadcaster, and I don't think players do either.
Well,
that's my take on it. Sorry for being so blunt.
I quite enjoyed hearing your take on it the last couple nights, and of course, just wanted to call to give all of our give all the listeners a tip of my hat to you, sir. You've been a wonderful colleague all season long, and to be honest, even on the occasions where we don't make it out for a road game, I still watch on AHL Live, but I listen to your call via the Ice Caps website. So I encourage everybody else to do the same, because nobody calls a game like you do.
Well, thank you very much, Amy, and you guys have been terrific, too. And as time goes forward here, I'd be more than happy to join you and support whatever your endeavors are. Very impressed with all the work that you and your organization, led by Rick, have put together. It's terrific stuff, and I've been encouraging people around our region, too, if you haven't been to all Habs Hockey or Habs 360 or whatever, Rocket Sports Media, to definitely look it up, and they'll be highly entertained and very impressed at the same time. I know that your passion and Rick's passion and members of your staff are much the same as I am. And I guess he can say it politically correct, well, I'm going to say it anyways, bleed blue, white, and red, white, and blue, whatever it would be, and nothing will ever change. Win, lose, or draw, I'll always be right there for the Habs and the Ice Caps. And I know they're probably leaving after next year, but still keep a watch from them from afar.
Amy, how do you find you and the coverage Ice Caps?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
How do we find you and your coverage of the Ice Caps?
Oh, yes, thank you. Of course, anyone who's interested in following along with all of the Ice Caps action, you can visit us at icecapshockeyreport.com, and you can follow along with us on Twitter at icecapsreport. In fact, the Ice Caps, as Brian had mentioned, have another tilt against my hometown Lehigh Valley Phantoms again tonight. It's kind of neat for me. I live in the Lehigh Valley area, so it's neat for me to get to see them playing at Mile One, and that's puck drops tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Newfoundland time.
Yeah, that's right, Amy, and there was a few Flyer fans down there last night, including one of my buddies who got me to get him a couple tickets. He didn't come down in his jersey, but he wore his black hoodie with his Flyers emblazed on the front and then a Philly hat. So, but there were a number, I'm talking double-digit numbers of Philadelphia jerseys at Mile One last night. I think there's a theme going on here. There's that anti-Montreal theme in Newfoundland and Labrador. Most hockey fans are for the Habs or Toronto, as we've well documented, because when Toronto would come to town, it was a house divided, and it was loud and proud. But there's still that anti-Habs sentiment around here, which kind of rubs me the wrong way. However, fans are entitled to cheer for whoever they want. They pay their good hard-earned money to get into the building. But I found a lot of that. And when Taylor Mayer was the second star last night, and Martin Ouellette with 27 saves was the first star. They got a very nice ovation, and it probably came from a lot of anti-Montreal fans. So, you know, that's it. Hey, I guess, you see Montreal fans everywhere. There'll be tons of them down in Sunrise outside Fort Lauderdale tonight, and there were lots in Tampa the other night. So have fans travel afar as well.
Brian, best play-by-play in the AHL, bar none. And for those listening, if you want to listen to a broadcast in the spirit of Bob Cole, Danny Gallivan, just head to stjohnsicecaps.com. There's a listen live link. You can listen that way. You can listen on the AHL Live for home games. And one of the ways I do it is through the TuneIn Radio app. It's 9:30 a.m. The radio channel in St. John's, and you can listen to Brian that way. Brian, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and we really thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. And anytime you get mentioned in the same breath as my idol, Danny Gallivan from Antigonish, Nova Scotia. I was born and raised in Halifax. And Mr. Bob Cole, who's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and he's from right here in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. That's spine-tingling and very humbling. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm there for you guys whenever you need me. And thank you very much for the kind words, and it's been an honor to work with you over this season.
Thanks again, Brian.
All right.
Really
thank
appreciate
you, Brian.
My pleasure.
This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by IceCapsHockeyReport.com, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. IceCapsHockeyReport.com is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
All right, we're going to take our final break. On the other side, we'll tackle our question of the day. Should Carey Price play before the end of the regular season? You can reach us via telephone at 1-877-455-4945. You can also reach us via Twitter at Habs360 or the All Habs Facebook page. This is the Habs 360 podcast featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
Don't live close to Montreal? Ever feel like you're the only Habs fan in town? Chances are good that there are plenty of fellow fans just around the corner, and HabsTweetUp.com will help you find them. If you're interested in hosting a hockey party in your city, visit HabsTweetUp.com for more details. You'll be connected to other Habs fans near you in no time.
Frameworth is the exclusive supplier and distributor of autographed products for some of the best hockey players in the world, including Carey Price, Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, John Tavares, and Alex Galchenyuk. Thanks to Frameworth, Habs 360 listeners can receive free shipping on any order. Shop online at frameworth.com and type in Habs 360 at checkout. Frameworth is an official licensee of the NHL, NHLPA, Hockey Canada, CFL, and the Hockey Hall of Fame. For more information, visit frameworth.com.
In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Well, it definitely would be nice. I've been working this whole time to get back, and that's always been my goal. So, if that happens, that's great. But if it doesn't happen, then, I'll be ready in September regardless. So I'm just going to keep pushing forward and keep working to get back in there. Right now, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I still have some symptoms, but I also am trying to get my game back too. I haven't faced shots in 3 months. You know, it's been hard mentally. I've told people before that this has been the most trying year of my career. You know, I feel more tired now than I do when I play hockey. You know, just watching is. I don't know how fans do it, to be honest. You know, it's hard to sit and watch and not be able to do anything. That's the hardest part about this whole process.
All right, so that's it. Carey Price speaking with the media yesterday, talking about, well, he's with the team now. He's traveling. He started practicing with them as well. So that leads to our question of the day for today's episode. Should Carey Price play before the end of the regular season? Should he start a game? And, well, my previous opinion on this was that if Carey Price is 100% and he wants to play, sure, throw him out there, even if it's a game, even though it's a meaningless game. But now that I heard the first clip that we played where he says he still has symptoms, so that means he's not 100%. So now I'm thinking, you know what? Don't play him. It's not worth the risk. He's not going to go. He never had the intention of going to the World Championships as well because his wife is giving birth. So shut him down. And then the next big question after that will be if he's ready and if he should go play in the World Cup. But just for today's episode, we're going to tackle whether or not he should play a game before the end of the regular season. So I'm thinking no. Rick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know why the Canadians would risk it. I understand that it helps him to have a goal. I understand that it helps him to be part of the team, taking part in practices. That's part of the rehab process. But you cannot risk your franchise player. And you know, some of the other media outlets were reporting that he doesn't have a full range of motion and that the symptoms, in quotes, that he was talking about refer to aspects of pain. And so I really don't see the necessity for having him play in an absolutely meaningless game.
If we look at our Twitter respondents, the majority, the consensus seems to be that they don't want him to play. But there's just a couple of tweets that stand out to me. First one comes from Nino Marcy from Laval. He writes, I think you better play one game before he plays for Canada because the fans will not be very happy. And that's a theory that I approached in a previous episode. I think when he was announced on the roster, it was clear at that time that Carey Price wants to play at the World Cup and he's going to want to play at least one game for the exact reason that that Nino just mentioned, that or else he's going to get criticized if he doesn't play before before the World Cup. Some other comments. Todd writes, no. Russell, he writes, I don't see why. Let him fully recuperate before rushing back and not take a chance of getting another injury. And that's Russell, who is writing in from St. Hubert, and I don't think it's from the restaurant. The next one, tweet comes from Jim Sneddon. He writes, if Price is healthy and he wants to play, then yes, start him. It will be Price's decision. So I know, Rick, we've gotten some tweets, and I know some of the Facebook comments are pretty much similar to what Jim wrote. If I was in a situation where I was a general manager or the head coach of the Canadians and Carey Price comes to me and he's assuming now that he's cleared 100%, the doctors have cleared him, and he says, I want to play a game, honestly, I'd play him if he came to me and he asked. Would that influence your decision?
Well, I think that you certainly take that into account, but you know, most players will want to play. Most players will mask pain. Most players will, you know, exaggerate how well they're feeling. And sometimes you have to protect a player from himself. I mean, you have to take their opinion into account, but I just don't see the need for it. And basing it on moronic fan criticism about Team Canada, I mean, who cares what fans say in this regard? Because they have to take care of the long-term health of Carey Price. You know, one of our Facebook commenters, Danny Ween, says the real question is whether or not that would have an effect on Team Canada's choice of goaltenders for the World Cup in September. I'm not sure anyone would want Price to be the starter for Team Canada if he doesn't get at least one game in till the very end of the season. I'm sorry, Danny, it's just not true. When General Manager for Team Canada, Doug Armstrong, announced the player choices, the first set of player choices, he said Carey Price is on this team if he wants to be on this team. He has no presentation whether or not he plays a game. And the nice thing about the World Cup is they're going to have a mini training camp. And so he'll know whether he's ready to go. So, you know, I think he has to be healthy. There has to be no risk of re-injury. And if all of those things are checked off, those boxes are checked, then okay, let him play. But otherwise, the risk is just too great.
And the Canadians, they signed earlier this week, like we mentioned, Charlie Lindgren. So that means there's a lot of goalies in the mix when it comes to Montreal Canadiens. Obviously, there's Carey Price, there's Mike Condon, there's Zachary Fucali, and now there's Charlie Lindgren, who's in the picture as well. Rick, how do you see this playing out going forward for the Canadiens and in that specific position?
There's actually two others, and let's not forget about Michael McNiven with the Owen Sound Attack. He's having a terrific season. He's another one. Lindgren, of course, Price, but Lindgren, Condon, McNiven, and Fucali are all under contract. McNiven was fantastic in the last year's camp and having a great season. So, you know, playing junior hockey, but he's someone to keep an eye on. There's also Hayden Hockey at Providence College. He was a freshman there this year, a draft pick, a prospect, I can't remember if he was a fifth or sixth round pick, but more of a long-term project. But the Canadians have some internal competition, and as Brian Rogers said, Zach Fucali, you know, he was thrust into a very difficult situation this year. He was never expected to be the go-to guy, the starter, the number one in his first pro season with the Ice Caps. And he's had an up and down adjustment to pro hockey, still getting to learn the AHL game. But now you have a guy like Charlie Lindgren, who's a couple years older, coming into the system and stepping up the competition. So I think it's good. The Canadians found themselves with their pants down this year. Marc Bergevin wasn't willing to go out and get a solid backup like a James Reimer at the end of November when it could have helped. He did the stopgap with Ben Scrivens, and Ben Scrivens was certainly no better than Dustin Tokarski. So they've added some with Charlie Lindgren. They've with the prospects in the pipeline, McNiven and Hockey, they've shored up their goaltending and have improved their depth considerably.
Yeah, and I think that maybe next season at the training camp, just like the Canadiens start off the season with three goalies, obviously next season they won't be in that situation because they won't have to go through waivers when I'm talking about Fucali and Lindgren. But who knows, maybe at some point during the season, one of these goalies may be used as a trade bait to hopefully get a top six forward that the Canadiens need. Obviously, it won't be a one-for-one trade, but they'll be part of the package. And just a tweet that we got from Blaine newest member of the AllHabs.net team. When it comes to the future, he writes, the acquisition of Lindgren is added depth and more options for trades to improve the top six NHL talent. And then our last tweet comes from Todd Tomander, who is actually a referee at the Quebec Junior Hockey League. So if you see him on the ice, tell him that we did read his tweets on the air and say hello to him from us. He's a friend of the show. So he writes that, So he writes that they'll be fighting for a number one spot. And then there's a ... for the Ice Caps. So that's what he's expecting to happen next year. So thank you very much, Todd, for the tweet. So it'll be interesting to see how this goaltending situation plays out itself. Short term, over the next 8 days, as we see if Carey Price will get a start, and then during the off season and early next season, definitely it'll be a great storyline that we'll be following here for you on the Habs 360 podcast. Rick, it was another great episode today.
I sure enjoyed it. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you very much as well to Brian Rogers, the voice of the Ice Caps. You could go to the Ice Caps website to get more information on how to listen their next games. The Ice Caps are playing tonight as well. Canadians have three games this week, starting tonight against the Panthers. And then the Panthers are back in town on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, the Canadians heading to Carolina to face the Hurricanes. And that will lead us to next week's episode, where we'll be on the game day of Game 82, the final game in the Canadians' regular season. The season will finally be over. My name is Chris G at ChrisGNate on Twitter. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following us on Habs360. We'll talk next week.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.